Thank you, Tom. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Way of Truth, which is brought every Sunday morning at this time here on WGCY by the Gibson City Church of Christ. My name is Kenny Chumley. I'm the preacher for the church. This morning, we're going to wrap up a study that began last fall about the truth of Christianity. And I'm going to try to pull together some of the loose ends, possibly, that are still out there and to offer some summation, some identifying of the major lessons that I hope we have gained from this study. Before I get to that, I'll take a minute to tell you that the Gibson City Church of Christ plans to meet this morning at its building on Route 47 on the south side of Gibson. We are catty corner northeast from the drive-in theater. We're going to meet at 9 o'clock and begin our worship with Bible studies for all ages. At 10 o'clock, our worship will involve congregational singing and praying, reading scripture, eating the Lord's Supper, a sermon from the Word of God. At the conclusion of the sermon, we take a short break and then we reassemble for a second Bible class that lasts 20 to 30 minutes. On Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, we have a midweek study in which we have classes for all ages. And we have a website, GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com. And on this website, you can access all of the lessons that we've had in this current series on the truth of Christianity. And you can access sermons. You can look at the church bulletin that's put out every Sunday. And there's more to be found, and it's all placed at GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com. Well, in this series, I've been talking about the proposition that Christianity is true. The Christian worldview is the only true worldview. Every other dissenting worldview is true. In its view of life, in its view of God, in its view of man, in its view of reality, in its view of the universe, the only true religion, the only true worldview is the Christian. The Muslim worldview is not true. The claim that Muhammad was a prophet of Allah, that's not true. The claim of the Hindus with their millions of gods is not true. The claim of the Buddhist and what they have to say about karma and nirvana and reincarnation is not true. And certainly the claim of atheist that there is no God is not true. There is no more self-contradictory system in all of human thought than the thought, the idea, the notion that there is no God. No, the only worldview that has any realistic, evidential, solid, concrete, objective support is Christianity. And I want to talk this morning about some of the fundamental core propositions of Christianity. But before I state them, and I'll be very brief in stating some of these core propositions, before getting to that, I want to answer the question that you might be thinking or someone might be asking, namely, can I say with 100% certainty that Christianity is true? Do I know with 100% certainty that what I believe about religion is true? And the answer to that is no, of course not. I don't have 100% certainty that Christianity is true. But let me tell you something else. I don't have 100% certainty that Lincoln was assassinated in Ford's Theater. We don't have 100% certainty that the earth is round. It may be flat. We don't have 100% certainty that there's not green cheese on the moon. You don't know with 100% certainty your true identity. Now, if all of this sounds confusing, let me say something about the three states of existence. And I think when I tell you what these are and you think about them, you'll agree that this is the way it is. There are some propositions, and a proposition is a truth claim. A proposition is a statement that claims here is reality. This is what is. Propositions can fall into one of three categories. They can fall into the category of certainty. They are 100% true, absolute, no ifs, ands, or buts. The only propositions in our realm of human knowledge that fit into this category are mathematical and definitional logic propositions. I mean, it's 100% certain that 2 plus 2 equals 4 and not 5 and not 50. It's 100% certain that all bachelors are men and that all wives are women, because that's wrapped up in the definition of what it means to be a wife or a bachelor. Those are the only kinds of propositions about which we have 100% certainty. The second state of existence is the state of probability, in which we believe something is true, not because we have 100% certainty, but we believe it's true based on a preponderance of the evidence. The evidence that we have, the hard data that we can look at, falls somewhere, you know, between 50 and 100%, but we don't have 100% certainty. Now, our belief in our identity is based on probability. I can show you a birth certificate with my name on it and a date and a place, Burnham City Hospital down in Champaign. And, you know, I grew up raised by two people who claimed to be my father and mother, and who claimed that I was their son, and that my name came from their name, my last name. But, you know, there have been cases where birth certificates have been fabricated. There have been cases where a person's been raised by a couple only to find out that the couple were not his real parents. I mean, ex-President Obama, there was a huge controversy about whether he was actually born in the United States or not. And a birth certificate was produced showing that he was, but still a lot of people don't believe that. And so our identity is based on probability. When someone says smoking is bad for you, or when they say eating Twinkies is bad for you, they think they are making those statements based on a preponderance of the evidence. They claim that they can point to certain scientific data that indicate if you smoke, if you eat Twinkies, you're likely to run into these health problems down the road. But they can't say with certainty to any particular individual that smoking's bad or eating Twinkies is bad. I've known people who smoked all of their life and it finally killed them when they were 90 years old. I mean, it didn't kill them, they died, but not because of lung cancer, because they smoked. And so statements like that are not based on mathematical certainty. They are based on probability. And there are some propositions in the realm of probability for which the evidence is so overwhelming, so preponderant, that we say it's beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's not 100% certainty, but it might as well be. Well, the third state of existence is what we call possibility. You've heard people say, you know, anything's possible. There was a famous English philosopher 100-so years ago by the name of George Berkeley who believed that all life is an illusion. I remember my seventh grade teacher one day telling the class that there were people who believed that human beings are nothing but brains lying around on the ground that imagine life. There's no real life. We don't have a body. We just have a brain, and everything that we think is real is but a thought of the brain, an imagination of the brain. And then I learned later in my schooling that George Berkeley was one of those philosophers who believes that sort of drivel. If I'd been able to talk to George Berkeley and he tried to convince me that all life is illusory, I would have asked him if he would mind if I poured a pot of hot coffee onto his lap. I mean, after all, if everything's just an illusion, that shouldn't pose any problem. So there are people who hold to claims like that that they're unwilling to test when it comes time to put such to the test. But I'm willing to admit that that's a possibility. But probability, not even close. I mean, if I told you that there's a planet beyond Pluto where the creatures who live on the planet are governed by an orange hippopotamus king, I mean, you wouldn't be able to disprove that. I wouldn't be able to prove it, but you wouldn't be able to disprove it. And so I guess in one sense, we can say that anything is possible. But we don't live life just on the basis of the possibility. No, we live life on the basis of the probable. That's where most of life is lived. And Christianity is in the realm of the probable. My faith is based on fact. There is an enormous amount of historical fact, empirical fact, involving eyewitness and circumstantial and historical evidence that are beyond question, data that is unimpeachable. And my faith is based on that fact. Now, I don't have 100% certainty in regard to Christianity, but faith is what bridges the gap from the evidence that exists to the level of certainty. You don't have 100% certainty that the roof you're currently sitting under will not collapse on you before I finish speaking. But you've probably not thought about that, probably not worried about that, because all of the data that's been coming into you through your senses suggests that the roof is sturdy and stable and it's going to stay up there. You see, even though we don't have 100% certainty for so many things in life, we act as though we have 100% certainty. And that's the way I am with Christianity. I am absolutely certain. I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And so, in the past weeks, I've been talking about that mountain of evidence that supports the Christian propositions, the Christian worldview. Now, here are three major core beliefs of Christianity. Here's what I believe as a result of the evidence that exists. The first of which is, I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe that the Jesus who lived in Judea 2,000 years ago, that we read about in the Bible, I believe that he is God. I believe that he is the eternal God. Why do I believe that? Because of his resurrection from the dead. He said that 3 days after he died, he would leave the grave. And there is eyewitness testimony. There is circumstantial testimony that indicates that is exactly what happened. Death is man's greatest problem. And if I'm going to worship anybody, I'm going to worship someone who gives me the hope of surviving death, who gives me the hope of dealing with the problem of death. Thomas wasn't with the apostles when Christ appeared to all of the apostles, except for Thomas there on the day that he was raised. And they told Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And Thomas said, well, unless I see him for myself, unless I can see the scars in his hands and in his side, I'm not going to believe. And then a few days later, the Lord appeared to Thomas. And the Lord said, so Thomas, you want to see the scars in my hands and in my side? Here they are. Go ahead, check me out. And Thomas simply fell at the feet of Christ and said, my Lord and my God. If I'm going to refer to anyone as my Lord and my God, it's going to be the one who can help me with the problem of death. Jesus is Lord. That's the core Christian proposition. Secondly, the Bible is the Word of God. It's the Word of God because Jesus said it's the Word of God. The Bible, not the Quran, not the Book of Mormon, not the Upanishads, not the writings of Confucius, the Bible is the Word of God. A third core proposition is that the church is comprised of the people of God. A person can either be saved, headed toward heaven, or lost, still in their sins, headed toward hell. When you are saved by obeying the gospel, repenting and being baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2 says the Lord adds you to the church. To be outside the church is to be in a lost condition. There is a way of life that pleases God, and that way of life provides the greatest blessing for man, the greatest satisfaction for the soul. And beyond that way of life, we need to confess that Jesus is Lord. So I hope in these studies we've had, you've heard something that helps you along that road, helps you in that belief, helps you in the conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord and that Christianity is the worldview you ought to embrace. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a good week as we get toward the end of January here, and I look to being forward with you again next Sunday at 8 o'clock right here on The Way of Truth.